When I heard of it through a newspaper, reading of an ad in a newspaper. One, two, hold your hand high. It's important because we have to use our funds wisely. One, two. How many heard of it by word of mouth of how great this miracle ministry was or how great it was? Somebody told you. You see what we need to do, and you know what it's told to us, to witness to 20 people a day about these miracles. 20 people a day about the radio broadcast on Sunday night, 10:30, and bring them in that way. Bring them in that way. If you are bringing someone, though, and you're testing for them, try to bring them with you. But do not forget that that is the way to overcome death. The key to immortality is to tell 20 people a day of this great witness. Our hands clasped again. With that religion, Calvinism, Baptist religion, that's the basis of your Calvinist Baptist faith. And they came in, and now those poor people make 16 cents a day, while the average Christian white makes $20 a day. You saw the movie. How many saw the movie in here? Treated like dogs, given they can't even buy good alcohol. They give them a horrible, strong, potent alcohol that causes cancer of the stomach and kills them off because they got too many blacks and makes them just toxic, but doesn't even give them a good drunk. They can't even get a good drunk. They can't even go to the toilets. They can't ride the buses. They cannot go in the stores. They cannot walk on the streets. They got to walk down off the curb. That's what religion brought them. I've come to get you free from religion. I've come to give you Christ. I've come to give you the Word, the revolution made fresh. I have come to give you a living Savior, to bring you out of your institutions, to bring you out of your bondage, to bring you out of your darkness, to bring you out of man-made religion. Sure, you can't stand on your feet, some of you, because you're still Uncle Tom's and Aunt Jane's. You don't know the truth when you hear it. I love the Bible. Said the other night, I took a Muslim brother in here and I honored him. I said, I'm so glad. He said, I worship Allah. But he said, I know you are the incarnation of God made flesh. I said, I'm glad for my Muslims here. We've got a lot of Muslims in this church. And I'm, the people said, well, I don't know. I thought this was a Christian church, honey. Do you know that the most of the leadership is Jewish and Muslim? I don't know, you thought you're Christian. That's all right, what's your Christian? You like Christianity. All right, King James, that book you love so much. King James, and you go back and get my interpretation of it. I said I had to give people a little bit of truth. They've seen too many miracles, and they're all up in seventh heaven, and they're saying, oh, what Jesus is doing through him. What Jesus is doing through him. Nobody does a thing through me, honey. It's me that does it. Well, now before you get mad, good Catholic friends, you saw the woman spit up her cancer and you got one, you know it. You want to get healed from it, don't you? Well, you better set and get the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. You saw the one that came out of the cask yesterday. You saw the blind eyes that were opened. You saw the back broken that was healed. You saw the one that was crippled up with arthritis in an accident that came running down. You saw all those. You saw the blinded eyes open. If you want to get that, honey, you better sit on your fanny and listen to what I got to say. If you don't like the truth, you never will get these healings. We've got a miracle package, and we save that miracle package. We save that resurrection package. for those folks that like black liberation. Hey, God! Yeah, you're part of it. So, well, my color, I'm light. If you're a Mexican, if you're an Indian, if you're Jewish, you're going to have to be liberated. Because these people from Oki Flats, these folk from down deep south, all that honky Ku Klux Klan stuff that's still running in the vein, they're going to come after you. You just think you're a Mexican. Just because Governor Brown didn't call you colored, you thought you don't have a problem. You see, back under Governor Brown, the blacks and the Indians and the Mexicans were about to get together. And the foolish people, and Governor Brown talked it over, because I've got one with high in his administration, it's in our church. They talked it over and said, we're going to have to divide these people, so we'll say the Mexicans can be called white. And the Indians can be called white, and we'll call the blacks Negro, because if we don't, they'll get together. But, well, honey, you better still look. You better still look. You Mexicans are still being treated like niggers, so you better recognize who you are. My Indian brothers and sisters only live to be 42 years of age, life expectancy in America. Some of them still think that they're pure American, but they're being treated just like Nigger Jim is. They're being treated badly. Wake up. How long do you have to be in the world before you get any sense? I'm telling you the truth now. This is what will set you free. These miracles are wonderful. It's good to live a long life. But if you live a long life and be stupid, you might as well be dead. Sure, we have no dying here. Sure, we've had 209 people resurrected from the dead that have been carried in here with bowel movement, even cake on their legs. We've had their eyes set and they've been blue. Sure, we can do that. But I tell you, that's not what's most wonderful. I'm looking over faces that were once dead in their trespasses of the old religions. They were dead under the old doctrines of fear, dead under the old concepts of the furniture of heaven and the temperature of hell. They were dead, and now their mental concepts, their mind has been resurrected. That's the greatest resurrection of all. Their mind has been liberated. Their mind has been set free. They now think. They now know the truth, and the truth. So you belong to a Christian church? Yes, I belong to a Christian church, and I told them I've got Muslims on my board. I belong to a Christian church, and they saw a whole breakfast full of Muslims, Jewish, and they had to take them. And I said, if you want me to say that Jesus Christ is the one we're going to look to in the past, no. Jesus Christ said that these things shall you do and greater. We're not going to look to the past. We're going to have our own liberation today. We're going to have our Messiah today. We're going to have our deliverance today. Today is our day of salvation. And they just voted us in. I'll go in the Christian church. The Christian church wants to take us, as long as I don't have to sign none of their doctrines, because it gives us a little more umbrella over you. I'm not afraid of anybody. Nothing in this world or out of this world, up above this world or under it. But you need as many people to protect you as possible. I told my people, some of my Jewish members said, we must not move that way. I said, you know a synagogue will take us in? One rabbi said, I'd like to, but the congregation wouldn't allow you to do so. You'd have to practice certain patterns that we do. But we've got plenty of Jewish friends, but we couldn't go in the synagogue. I talked to Elijah Muhammad, and I couldn't go into Elijah Muhammad. I would have, but they said that you had to all have black, certain dark skin to be in their movement. I don't believe that. I believe you can be a nigger and be as white as milk. Now you say you don't like that word nigger outside. No. Inside, though, our children have been hurt with it so much we kind of joke about it. That takes some of the sting out of it. And we're glad to be niggers. When I look at these honkies fighting over each other when they're dying, and they look so drab. I watched them coming out of Betty Grable's funeral, and I said, look at Dorothy L'Amour, and I tell you, Dorothy looked like she was 150. I look at those people in that honky world. They're unhappy. They're empty. Their life is meaningless. They've got nothing but their possessions, and they can only hold them till they die, and their family standing like vultures ready to take them. When I look at all those unhappy honkies, I'm glad I'm a nigger. I'd join Elijah Muhammad, but I'm not going to stand and have look at somebody's color. I'm going to look at their actions. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. We had the Ku Klux Klan doing that to us. They judge us because we were Jewish or black or Indian. They would burn their crosses in our yard. If you were Catholic too, honey. Some of you Catholics think you're not niggers, but you are. The Ku Klux Klan is rising again. Davenport can tell you, we saw front page news here in the Los Angeles Times, back in Indianapolis. You can't have Negroes in your home. In Martinsville, they'll burn crosses in your yard. They'll sweep you away at night. The Ku Klux Klan's meeting every Friday. And their hate is against Catholics, Jews, blacks, Indians, Mexicans, anybody from lower Europe, Greek, Latin, Spanish. So, honey, you didn't know it, but the Ku Klux Klan calls you a nigger. We saw the film on CBS saying that they take in $50 million a year from the Carolina Klan alone. All right. And they're on the increase. They're marching around. They marched in the Bark Day California parade. In Northern California, the Ku Klux Klan, and in Southern California, the Ku Klux Klan hoods on. And in Houston, where I healed this bishop that was 87 years of age, cured him of blindness, and brought him out of the wheelchair, his testimony's in this month's magazine. The cops wear their Ku Klux Klan garb right on duty. Don't tell me it's not true. I've got the pictures in the newspaper. Associated Press has pictures of them with their Ku Klux Klan emblems on. And I want to get some of you people, just because somebody puts white on your record, go out there and see how your housing is. Mexicans, look around this mess. Look at the kind of housing you've got. Look at the protection you get. Somebody gets hurt in Beverly Hills, boom, there's somebody right on the spot. If you're in one of these poor Mexican or poor white or poor Jewish or poor Italian or poor black neighborhoods, you could wait till you begin to rot and nobody will be there. If I had not had revelation at 3 o'clock on Saturday morning, that woman had her clothes stripped off on her on Pico Street. They stripped her naked, a young woman stripped her, but my revelation sent the attorneys and the workers and they saved her. They stripped her there. That wouldn't happen in Beverly Hills. No, they get more protection for their tax dollar. You better wake up. That's why some of the white mothers are calling themselves gray panthers. We don't only need some black panthers. We need some white panthers, some Italian panthers, some Jewish panthers. We need all kinds of panthers. Bless your heart. I don't care if you don't like it. When you die, see if somebody can heal you. When you get cancer, see if anybody can cut it out and take it like I did from the woman a few minutes ago, all over her body, took every bit of her pain. It's still gone, isn't it, honey? Still gone? No more pain in your body, is there? She's waving her hand. All the pain gone in your chest, brother? Still gone down here out of your chest? My healing's there. She's shouting back there. If you want to get healed with cancer, you take my black and Jewish and freedom liberation message. You take it. Because I'm not going to give you my healing unless you take my truth. If you won't stand on your feet for what I've got to say, then you can sit on your ass and die. I'm not speaking to senior citizens. I'm not speaking to senior citizens. I don't expect you to jump up. I'm looking back there at some young man that's got trouble in your prostate. You got on your feet, though, didn't you? You had trouble in the back of your back. You don't think you can stand up for my message. But you had to get up off your feet, young man there, in the white and the blue. You had to get up. You had to get up off your feet because I wouldn't heal you. But now I will heal you because you got up and you were honorable enough to be obedient. And now I will heal you. Good God. It's sweet to know Jesus, because Jesus is a revolution. I do love you with all my heart. That's why I tell you the truth. People that lie to you don't love you. People that tell you the truth love you. Thank you. Now, there's not a church that would have interrupted their offering to preach, but I know we'll find money some way. But the truth you cannot buy. The truth is not for sale. You can't find the truth anyplace else. That's why, as badly as we need money to feed our children, keep our children's home, keep our senior citizen home, educate our young people in the colleges, I stopped it because I knew you needed the truth. Some of you don't listen to my tapes too well, but when I get on the ball and open my mouth, you begin to listen at least a little bit, and I must give you the truth. I'd rather have anything happen than for you not to have the truth. You can afford to get sick, but you cannot afford to be lied to. You cannot afford to live in darkness. You cannot afford to live under the lies of the old church religious system. You must have the truth. You must have the truth. God, you must have the truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. Peace. So we are accepted in a Christian church because they accepted us. They let me be the bishop. I told a man in there, I said, my people think I'm God. You know what to think about it. And I said, I'm certainly more of a God than a spook. And they say there's somebody's God up there in the skies, and the State Department says 2 out of 3 babies are going to bed hungry. And God was lonely when he got out there and made space, they say, that sky God, that he was lonely, and he looked out over space, and he made him an angel. The most beautiful one he met, made, didn't like him. Satan, the most beautiful one, rebelled and took a third of his angels away. Said God, that sky God, was lonely. That's sweet. Now, I wouldn't do that to you. If I found myself in this hellhole and I was alone, I'd stay alone because I love you too much. You understand what I'm talking about? You can call me a redeemer, though, if you want to. You can call me a savior, if you want to. You can call me a deliverer that's come up out of Zion, if you want to. You can call me a liberationist, if you want to. You can call me a revolutionist, if you care to. But don't you call me no sky god. He said, well, I guess you got a point there. And people calling God a spook, and all these babies going to bed hungry. People die in concentration camps, supposed to be his chosen people, the Jewish people. Black people suffer just because of the color of the skin. You say, I don't understand God, you being God. Do you understand anything else being God? Come on. I'm asking, do you understand anything else? Do you understand why we started and where we come from? Do you understand that? Do you understand why God began the whole thing? Where people have to look for cancers and pollution and smog, the only peace we've got up in Redwood Valley, and we have to put fences around it to give people havens, sanctuary, swimming pools, mustard greens, strawberries, the best pear. The only Garden of Eden I know in America is up in Redwood Valley, and I made it, this God made it with his hands. Peace. You say you've been worshiping a spook. Paul said, I perceive that you're entirely too superstitious. He said, you make an engraving, a superscription to the unknown God. That's what all the Christians are doing. That's what all of them, they got an unknown God. He's never shown up. They live in poverty. They live in ghettos. They suffer and die before their time. They face cancer. They can't get a good doctor. I've had to get a sister this morning that had been operated on, hadn't even been sewed up properly. Had the healer, didn't I? Over here, had the healer. Hadn't even been sewed up properly. They still got VIP on people that are very important. And you can lay and die if you don't know the right people in the hospital. The wheel that's got the most money or the most grease, the one that squeaks the loudest gets the most grease, rather. I'm talking about the earth as it is. You said you had no trouble about believing in God. Before you saw me, you said you believed in God. Why do you believe in God? Because you said, oh, I didn't get here from nothing. Well, I don't mean nothing to me. I can look out there and see in Redwood Valley, outside of our property, because our property is clean, you can go out there and look out on some of their fields and you'll see horse shit. Now, excuse me, I'm using Paul's language to try to get a truth across to you. Paul said, I count it all done. Now, just listen, won't be too much longer.
You can look out and see a pile of horse shit, but that don't mean necessarily that you want to find which made it. I think a better way would be to say, you can look out on our hills all around there and you can see elimination that come from buzzards. It's there. It didn't come from nothing. It come from buzzards. But you better not play with buzzards, because they'll eat you before you stop breathing. Buzzards that pick on your flesh before you're dead. So some of you say, well, I'm here. Somebody had to be there. How do you know it's friendly? How do you know what's up there is friendly? If you look in here, and I'm supposed to be the creator of this house. And I am. I am the creator of this house. If you came in here and saw two out of three of my people hungry, you say he's a lousy creator. If you saw people in here that didn't have proper clothes and were starving and were dying of thirst, you'd say, Father Jones is a very poor God. But Father is so much fair that everyone here has the same birthday, the same weekly allowance for their children, the same equal Christmas, and we'll go on August the 3rd, we're all going on the same equal vacation. And if you don't have the money, we'll find a way, if you're an honest, faithful, supporting member, not in just material things, but in your soul, to this work, we'll find a way. And if you're an actual supporting, contributing person in your commitment to this church, we'll find a way you get San Cisco every other week. Because we'll not let price or money bar you if you have put your commitment where your mouth is and put your time where your mouth is. We'll take care of you fairly. There's no respect to persons here. But yet you're so quick out there, you said, oh, God is beautiful. God is wonderful. But God made this world, and two out of three babies in this world are hungry. In Africa today, in Africa, the poor camels and donkeys and horses are dying. The TV shows you little black babies, Arab babies, Muslim babies, Jewish babies are falling dead all over Africa because of a drought, an act of God. 7 years drought, an act of your so-called sky god. They've had no water for 7 years, and your TV news shows you every night those poor people dying. And what do we got? We've got money for Cambodia. Money to bomb little babies in Cambodia. Money to blow little Vietnamese children to hell. We've got money to make napalm. Now listen to me, children. Now think it through. If we've got money for that, we can take that money over there. You say, well, that's not God. That's man. Who made man? Who gave him the power? Or you say, well, God, that's the devil. Who made the devil? If I started a world, I'm gonna shake some of these folk loose today. Hi. Now be seated. Now you relax yourself a little bit. Now if I made a world, I wouldn't make any devil. I wouldn't make any devil. What would I want with a devil? You listen to these old fairy tales that King James cooked up for you. King James of England, who sent the first ship to Africa to bring our forefathers back in chains. And what did King James name the ship? Good Ship Jesus. That's how he got us to come over here. He was going to give us an education. And our folks came over here, they were going to get an education. And they brought us over here in the Good Ship Jesus. And how'd they get our sons then? They got our sons of pride of Africa, princes, kings. They took the best of our people, brought them in chains, and they got them off the boat, and they were fighting. They said, we're not going to pick your cotton. Yeah, so they killed off the smart ones. Then they got the dummies. Mm-hmm. They killed off the smart or the poor that were beat down until they were tired and too hungry. They said, now we'll give you some food if you'll have a Bible study, and we'll teach you about Jesus. And now you get Jesus, and you won't have to worry. You work here in the cotton fields now, but by and by, you're going to have shoes, and all God's children are going to have shoes. And you're going to go away, going to fly away up into heaven, and you're going through the pearly gates, you know, and sit up in the city. And finally, it took on, because there's no other way you could get our people to work in those cotton fields 20 hours a day. You know that, honey? You know what I'm talking about? You understand it? Yeah. You know the only reason they could get our people to work the cotton fields and work their backs to the bone, their hands to the bone, sweat? The only thing that could keep them alive was the lie the white man had given them. You got sheep, I got sheep, all of God's children got sheep. When we get to heaven, gonna put on our shoes and gonna walk all over God's heaven. And we would have been singing that for 2,000 years. But Jim Jones came along and said, you got shoes, all you damn honkies got shoes. We're gonna build a heaven, and if you don't give us some shoes, we're gonna take off us your shoes and gonna walk all over your ass. I don't care whether you like it. I'm still the one who healed her cancer. I'm still the one that raised the one up from the wheelchair. I'm still the one that raised the two up from the dead yesterday. I'm still the one that had the blind that gave them healing yesterday. I'm the same God. Same God. Same power. This woman can tell you. Hopeless heart condition raised her from the dead. This woman can tell you. Sitting with her son was dying with cancer. Brought him back, healed him, he's healthy now. Every place I walk, I can see people that were in wheelchairs or were dying. These people can tell you, it's the same one that said, ass, honey. Same God, same God. I won't preach like this every day, but I'm telling you, I didn't come here to give you miracles just so you could go back to those old gospel churches, those old lion, dog, jackleg churches. I didn't come to give you the truth that you could go back into that old lie. I came to set you free. I came to get you to stand on your feet and to be a proud nigger. That's what I came. Bless you. Some of you standing up with me too, aren't you? I love you for it. I adore you for it because you're standing with me. All right, you can be seated. Bless your sweetheart. Sweetheart. You may be seated. I want to hold this analogy, though I did not intend to preach. I had to preach, because some people are going to lose their life if I don't preach. They don't have the truth, and they're going to lose their whole soul. You didn't have any soul until I came along, some of you. You're like a big car without a motor. I had to come and get the soul in the thing, give you the mind, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of revolution. I had to come and give it to you. I'm making that analogy. If I were to create a world, I wouldn't create a devil. I wouldn't create anybody because I was lonely. No, not I. That doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to a lot of you. You're better people than that. There are Baptist and Methodist Jewish mothers in here. You wouldn't have done that, would you? Would you have been up in the sky? Would you have created somebody because you were lonely? That's what Billy Graham said. Somebody asked him, one of the scholars asked him, a Jewish rabbi, why did God create us? This Jewish rabbi was an atheist. Give you the mind, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of revolution. I had to come and give it to you. I'm making that analogy. If I were to create a world, I wouldn't create a devil. I wouldn't create anybody because I was lonely. No, not I. That doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to a lot of you. You're better people than that. There are Baptist and Methodist Jewish mothers in here. You wouldn't have done that, would you? Would you have been up in the sky? Would you have created somebody because you were lonely? That's what Billy Graham said. Somebody asked him, one of the scholars asked him, a Jewish rabbi, why did God create us? This Jewish rabbi was an atheist. A lot of atheists anymore in the churches. The synagogues. Said, why?
He said, well, because God was lonely. God needed somebody to worship him. What a ridiculous, superficial, stupid thing to say, that God would make somebody to worship him because he was lonely. Then he made a devil. Now all you can say to me, you're God. You worship God before I came, and you've got a world filled with war, blacks starving, Indians dying at Wounded Knee, Jewish fighting for their life in Israel, wars and rumors of wars, Arabs oppressed everywhere, all over the land. 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry. And you say, I don't understand why they believe Jim Jones is God. I can't understand that. Well, you know what? We don't understand why you are making so much ado over your buzzard God. I don't mean to call your God. I don't mean to be disrespectful to your God, but the best thing I can do is to shock you. The way to get mental patients cured is to give them electroshock. I've seen some of them babbling and talking and their eyes popping and they'll be quivering and they'll go in and give them electroshock. Boom! And they'll come out of that electroshock and they'll start remembering their children and begin to have peace. But the shock is horrible. They froth. They have to bite on a rubber heel. They go into seizures. The shock is terrible. And I know I'm like that to some of you. The truth is like an epileptic seizure. It's like electric shock. But when you get through, you'll be healed of your mental illness. You see, to save that a world that's filled with babies, 2 out of 3 that are going to bed hungry, world that has tidal waves hit the same place in India twice in 1 year, and 3 million die. Earthquakes that have swallowed up the Peruvian Indians in the last 3 years twice. Famines that strike Africa. Why don't it strike San Clemente? That's where Nixon lives. I mean, you're not going to say, I'm quarreling with your concept. You say, God, your God has all power. You say, your God can do anything. I only say, if you give me your faith, I will give you more by far than your blessed God ever gave you. I say that if in every city I had this kind of a following that would like me, this honest one, this most honest one, I could change this nation and make it blossom like a rose. I could turn its dry ground into great brooks that would bring forth living water. If you would elect me your savior, if you would elect me your president, if you would elect me a leader, I say I would do 10,000 times more for you than any religious opinion's ever done. I do not claim to be omniscient, omnipotent, omnilucent, omnipresent, but you claim your God has all power. You claim that God made the devil, and that God will let the devil reign only as long as he wants him to reign. You claim that God was able to do everything, but he couldn't make even a good man except Job. In your King James, Job was the only good man. And what happened to him? God looked at him. When I see good people here, my heart goes out. I look at the choir. I look at you older people. And I showed that bishop. I was showing him Bertha from the kitchen. I said, these are gems. I said, Mother Taylor, I talked about her before she got in. I said, you don't know women like that. They work in their 80s. And then she came in. I was so glad she stepped in. I said, these are the princes and the kings of the earth. They're the jewels of the earth. I said, they're too good for America. They love too much. They take in everybody. They even help every little animal. They protect the little flowers. They're honest in their dealings. I said, they're too good. America's too corrupt to even appreciate them. He just stood and listened to me. I said, they're jewels. What do I do when I see a jewel? I was like Mom Taylor. I said, this week, come up to Redwood Valley. You worked long enough. Time you rested now. You got a home the rest of your life. But what did God, what did your God do? What did God do? What did I do that sister there I healed yesterday? Stood up and healed that sister yesterday, wasn't it? Healed her. Didn't know her, but I told her things about her life. And I said, in your heart, I knew she wanted to go to Redwood Valley. And I said, come on. And I made arrangements and gave her a home. Just didn't even know her. But what did your sky, buzzard God, do? He said, "See thou my servant Job. See him." That's what your buzzard God did in the King James Bible. He said, "See thou my servant Job. He's a man perfect in all of his ways." He said, "I'm going to turn you over, Job, over to you, Satan, and you try him any way you want to, and he'll remain faithful." That's the way your buzzard God awarded faithfulness. So Satan, what did he do? What did he do? He destroyed his house. He destroyed his lands. He took his wife. He destroyed his children. Burned his fields. And finally, he put skin worms and boils all over Job's body. And Job had lost everything. And poor Job, even when he was eaten up with skin worms, he said, "Though the skin worms destroy me, yet somehow in my flesh I will see God." That's the way your buzzard God awarded Job. The only man that he could point to, this perfect God that you worship in your Bible, the only one he was able to make perfect. Everybody else had turned him away. Everybody else had turned their back on him. Everybody, no wonder. Job had to be a lunatic. If I took your wife away from you, and I killed your children, hear this woman stand up. You were 5 years in a wheelchair, isn't that right? Crippled, couldn't walk. You follow me because I'm a liberator, don't you? If I'd have put you in a wheelchair and then put you blind, you'd have spit in my face, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want any more to do with me, would you? Now, you people, you're the ones, you look at us like we're stupid. You look at my people like they're stupid because they call me God. We think you're stupid because you worship something you've never seen. You worship a buzzard. And the only thing you can tell me is why, is because, well, I'm here, something had to make me. And I say, there's buzzard manure on every hill. That proves a buzzard made it. But that don't prove that you want to find the buzzard. I say, you cannot prove that there's a loving deity in the sky. You cannot reach to any place in the sky and find heaven. You can travel for the next 300 million light years, and every scientist and astronomer will tell you, you will not find even the end of the dark, cold space. And you say, well, I'm going to go there in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, you know how an eye twinkles? It doesn't twinkle as fast as the speed of light. What's light? Every time I snap my finger, light moves 186,000 miles at every snap of the finger. Do you know how long you've got to go that fast to get up there outside of the dark reaches of the cold space? You've got to travel like this, 186,000 miles a second for 300 million years, and you still won't find the end of space. Now, where in the hell are you going? It's all right. Stretch a little. You're tired. You're back. Some of you are older. Stretch a little. I don't mind. Just stretch. Just stretch. You're home. Just stretch. I'm preaching longer than I usually, so just stretch. I'm about finished, though. I'm trying to get something through to our bird brains. How can you worship a Bible that I can prove to you is full of errors? Matthew, the first chapter, Luke, the third chapter, disagree as to even who Jesus' grandfather is. One says it was Heli, the other one says it's Jacob. One says his great-grandfather was Mathan, the other misspells it and says it's Mathat, M-A-T-T-H-A-T. They can't even spell right. The Bible cannot tell the same story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They're all telling the same accounts of Jesus' works, and not one of them tell the same story. Get my yellow book about your black book. And I will not preach this again for a long while. But many of you die because you won't bring God down where he can be of help to you. You won't let him get down where he can help you. You've got God up there in the sky. You've got God in the imagination. The only thing that's going to help you is something that's got flesh. All spirits that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that the Savior is come in the flesh now, today, is Antichrist. You're going to be without hope unless you confess that Christ is here. Or that saving grace is here. That a revolution is here.
So the only argument you can give me about worshiping a sky god is, I didn't come from nowhere, neither did buzzard manure. It didn't come from nowhere. But buzzards are not nice. You say, you mean I'm buzzard manure? Well, how did you feel until you found somebody that loved you? How have you suffered? Have you suffered like diamonds? Or have you suffered more like buzzard manure? Have your pains been something more like buzzard manure? I will use another word if I get through some of these hard hits, but I've got some sister over there that's about to have a stroke and I don't want to raise her. She don't need to be raised today. It'd be hard on her to go through the death process. And I do love people. So you're without argument. You can say, yes, something had to be out there. But you cannot tell me and say, yes, something out there is loving. That you cannot say. Because if you go by the fruit of what it made, 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry, that's not love. To make people a certain color and them to suffer all their days long just because they've got beautiful black skin, to work for half the pay in this state of California, to pay twice the rent, to be cheated every time they move, to walk in a department store and have everybody waited on before you get waited on. No, that's not love. Whoever made you did not love you. I did not make you, but by damn, I will save you. Now you get that in your little smoke pipe. You get it in your cut and you chew it. Savior I am. A redeemer I am. A deliverer I am. A father I am. I can save you when you're in jail, just like I brought that man out of the jail just a few moments. And I can promise, I can make prophecies and keep them, just like I prophesied life to her son and he lived. Just like I promised doctor here, Reverend at 92, that he would not go back to jail, and I paid my money and got him out. Just like when his leg was broke the same day, I healed it. He didn't have to have a splint. He didn't have to have a cast. I healed it before they had the time to set it. I came to him and healed it. Oh, yes, I can heal you. Oh, yes, I can raise you from the dead. Oh, yes, I can open your blinded eyes. Oh, yes, I can get you out of prison. Oh, yes, I'll give you a home. Oh, yes, I'll take you in when you're lonely. Oh, yes, I'll make a heaven out of your hell. But I'm in a war against your buzzard god. I'm at war with your buzzard god. I've come here to defeat your buzzard god. Preacher in America that loves you so much that when we need money so badly to prepare for our exodus, because we'll have to leave just as sure as the children did under Moses from Egypt. We'll have to find ourselves places hewn out in the mountains, and we need supplies. We need all kinds of supplies, even getting distilled water. We have to take care of every provision, sanitary equipment, all kinds of medical supplies. We need it, but there's not a preacher in the world that would have stopped short in his offering. He's too conscious of paying for his Cadillac. There's not a preacher in the world that would have stopped his offering and said, my folks, I love you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to give you the truth. With $250 in an offering, that's all that's been taken. Oh, how I would that you had the truth. Now we will finish our offering and then we'll go into our healing service. He said, Jesus didn't preach this. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus said, I was a slave. Philippians said, Jesus said, though I was a servant, that means slave in the original. Jesus said, though I was a slave, yet I considered it not robbery to be equal with your buzzard God. That's what he was saying. I've had enough of your praying. He said, I've had enough of looking up. He said, look within. The kingdom of revolution, the kingdom of your hope is within. He said, quit looking up. Look here. Today is a day of salvation. Heaven's on earth. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth.
I'll preach this every now and then. This scatters. Say, we're getting too crowded. We have chairs in the aisles. It'll take care of it for 2 or 3 weeks because people don't like the truth. They'd rather worship a buzzard than they would a real living God. The majority of people would rather worship a buzzard. They'd rather stick with that buzzard because they think brought them here. Do you worship the honky? He brought you here from Africa. Do you worship him? How do you feel about the honky? He had power. Buzzards have got power too. They can tear your flesh off. Do you like the honky because he brought you from Africa? Do you like those that put you in chains? Well, you don't have to like sky gods either. I've been cussing them out for 50 years. I'm a great-grandfather nearly, and I'm feeling better. And the more I curse out your buzzard sky god, the better I feel! That's where I get my energy from. That's how I can heal the sick and raise the dead, by telling the truth. The more truth I tell, the more power I get. You're going to drop dead doing it. Not on your chinny chin chin. I've been doing it for 50 years nearly. Well, if you don't like it, I do. There's my son anyway. He's out of jail just like I said, didn't he? Put him in jail on something false. I get him out in a few minutes. You find out if your sky god will bring you out. You see if your old jackleg preacher. I stopped my service. I stopped. I said, get down there. I got the money in my hand. I said, right here. And got it in my hand. The people said, go get him out now. He's one of my sons. I said, get him out. He was there for a false charge. But if he'd been there for a charge or something he'd done, I'm going to be with you through thick, thin, hell or high water. We are not lawbreakers, we are law keepers. We believe in not harming anything, not even a little fly. I put them on my hand and let them get out the door. But I'm going to tell you, they've done enough dirt to you that no matter what happens to you, I'll fight for you. You see if any preacher loves Jesus so much, they say, Jesus loves you. That may be. It's easy to say a spook loves you. But you ever get them down to find out whether they love you or not? They'll say, Jesus loves you. If you're tired, just get up and walk. You don't have to sit. I told you you don't have to. Jesus loves you. That doesn't help you much. Say, preacher, do you? Say, I know Jesus does. He's over on Alvarado and Hoover, but I want to know, do you? He said, oh, Jesus loves your soul. But he don't love it enough to raise a finger to go down and get you out of jail. He won't love you enough to get you a ride home. Every service, I drive 700 miles every Thursday night to be here in our miracle service one way. But every service, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, all day Sunday and Saturday, I stand here till every one of you get away home. Yeah, I'm supposed to be the devil. I know you're sitting back there, young man. Your preacher says, I'm the Antichrist. He says, I'm the devil. And he says, he's worshiping God. Now, isn't that funny? He's worshiping God, and he wouldn't even let you ride in that big Lincoln he's got. I've got 11 Greyhound buses, all air-conditioned. And when they come and come for you, your preacher's going to sell you out. He'll try to be like the capos were against the Jews. He'll try to sell you out, and he won't give you any comfort, and he won't give you a ride in his Lincoln. But I've got 11 Greyhound buses, and I'm going to load them, and I'll tell you, if they try to stop one of us, they'll have to kill all of us. All right, anyhow. They're coming too. They're coming. I can hear the trumping. They've taken Uruguay, they've taken Brazil. They've experimented on little babies in the laboratories, the fetuses. They gave syphilis to hundreds of blacks and didn't give them penicillin in Alabama. They gave in Montgomery, they sterilized last week 10, 11, 12-year-old girls because they happened to be black. They gave cancer-causing drug on 350 Mexican mothers here in Lower California just to see, in Texas to see what it would do to them. I hear them coming. You keep on worshiping your sky god because he ain't going to do nothing about it. But if you come over and get the living God, I'll fight for your freedom and bring you justice. I'm saying nothing more than what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am God. And they crucified him for it. They said, for that we are going to crucify. He said, why are you going to kill me? Because I'm teaching that ye all are gods. Because your ancient law says, it is written, ye all are gods and sons of the Most High. So we are sons of the Most High, and that Most High is a socialist, nonviolent revolution. That is the Most High. Some of us know what our God is. When I put up my hand, somebody knows what I mean. Somebody knows what I'm saying. You think I could take all this praise personally? I couldn't stand it. They had that bishop in there, that superintendent in there, and all those people were praising me, telling how they were dead and raised, how they were blind and saw. I couldn't stand it. I had to walk out. I can't stand it because he didn't know what they were talking about. But then when I got back and I told him about God, socialism, then I stepped out. I said, are you people through praising me? I said, it's too religious to suit me. I said, I'm going to tell where the man's where it's at. I couldn't stand here. I'm not an egotist. I'm not narcissistic. They're not praising me, those that really know. Oh, they're praising me in that I'm the father of their country. They're praising me in that I'm the father of this new nation. They're praising me in that I'm the father of socialist freedom. But they are praising an idea. Their God is an idea. Hallelujah. It's a word. It used to be just a word. It used to be just a word. But now that word is made flesh. That word has 1,000 fists. Yea, 2,000 fists. This Sunday morning in Los Angeles, that word has taken on a body. Socialism, God lives. Yes, we may die, but we will live. But we'll not die begging. We'll not buy that kind of life. That's not living. He calls that living. Some of you people worship like old Paul Robeson said, Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no woman would give in to somebody that lived 900 years? That's what Robeson used to sing, made fun of it. Who'd want to live 900 years and be dead? Now around here when we live, we do at least have something to live for. We are not afraid. We speak our mind. We stand up for what we believe. And we've gotten to such a place we're not afraid. No, we don't want to be tortured, but we're even getting to a place where to live in America with all of its hate and its violence and its crime, its disorderliness, its racism, its bigotry, its anti-Semitism. That's a prison in itself. Even some of you have got fine homes, you've got businesses, convalescent homes. You feel like you're in a prison, don't you? Don't you feel like you're in a prison? Don't you feel like you're not free? So what more can a jail? Jails, bars, prison bars doth not a jail make. I talked to somebody's health at stake. Because that's not a leap that we're taking. I go, Sister Cardinal, talk. 3 o'clock, later today than I like, later this weekend than I like. But how long can you afford to wait for lies? You've waited years for lies. All right. And I want to say something downstairs. I want nobody slobbering over any table. We're sitting up here trying to get people the truth. And I want nobody down there confabbing. Get away from those tables and get your elbows off the counters downstairs and quit putting food in your mouth, and you keep yourselves working just like we are. We don't want anybody playing around, because we don't like to keep church any better than anybody else. We keep church so that the man will know, so that the honkies will know that there's plenty of us together. That's why we've got church going on up here. After a while, our church services won't be so long. We'll have some fun before the time of our great perfection comes. It's wonderful. Now, how many love the truth? How many love the truth enough to give and help us through this day? We were at 40. We were at 30. How many will stand and say, "Yes, Father"? There's somebody that I've never seen anybody like that before. There's a man like I've never seen before. I'd hear about him once. He comes every Thursday and rides on the back of a bus 700 miles one way, and then goes Thursday night back to San Francisco 700 miles, holds a meeting there, and comes 700 miles back and holds a meeting here on Saturday and Sunday, and then goes back 700 miles out of the Redwood Valley tonight and does that every week. You say he does that? He has to be a better man than anybody on earth. You say he's adopted 8 babies? 8 children of all races. You say he wears old used choir robes and never bought a pair of new shoes. You say he lives in a block home, never bought a piece of new furniture. Say he doesn't go to restaurants or doesn't sleep in hotels, sleeps in the church. Say he sleeps on a bus floor. You say he does those things. You say he takes in every little animal and all the people. Why, that's enough for me. I don't care whether he can heal or not. I'm following him, I say. I say I'll follow him through hell. He's all right. He's cool. I'd be in here today and see a young man stand up in jail. The police had him and throwed him in jail. And I bring him out. And I said, in one day he did it? Not only one day, I did it in 30 minutes. 30 minutes? That'd be enough for me. I'd sit there and say, service is long. Oh, I'd be glad to sit for 10 hours to a man like that. Amen. I'd say whatever he's doing, because he's trying to build faith. We get people together because we got to build faith. We got to keep people by every means. I have to become all things to all men, that by any means I might save the more. I should only have to be, as you know back there, sweet mother, the militant revolutionary. That's all I should have to be. That's the highest calling. You know me in the highest calling. I become all things to all men, that I, by any means I might save the more. But I have to be a Pentecostal preacher to some. And I have to be a holiness preacher to others. And I have to be a healer to some. And I've got to be a miracle worker to others. I've got to reach everybody on every level. And I've got a right to do it. Because Paul said, you must become all things to all men by any means to save the more. And when people are out there worshiping spooks that keep them hungry, that keep them starved, that keep them in chains, that keep them in ghettos, while people are worshiping spooks, then I will become God, for by any means I will save the most. I will become all things to all men, that by any means I might save the most. And it takes me several hours to do that. Yes, I'll become Jesus Christ. Yes, I'll become Moses. Yes, I become Vladimir. Yes, I become that which I have been. And I was those that I mentioned. But I don't have to be those that I mentioned. I've done enough in the name of Jim Jones to write the best Bible you've ever seen.